This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
That's right. Extra long for the people.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Going to be a great show today. Thank you for listening in. Appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Free agency winners and losers on the show today. Some NFL news to talk about that I'm excited to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
A big announcement. Last week, I mean, we gave you an announcement that there would be an announcement.
Yes.
Which, you know, as time has passed, that is now, it's time for the actual announcement.
You let me know.
Follow us on Twitter at the FF Ballers, where we will be sharing more information about said announcement. That is, well, I think it's time.
Okay. Hey!
Oh! Woo! Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've been waiting for, the announcement. Wednesday, April 5th, the very first episode of the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Podcast. The people have demanded it. They've demanded more Dynasty content. We said nay, not yet. And then they kept demanding it, and we said fine, we'll spin up a whole nother podcast where we just talk about Dynasty. It's launching April 5th. Like I said, right now there's already a trailer. You can go subscribe, be ready for it, get a little tasty taste of, get that intro. Jason talks about the podcast.
I mean, that's the takeaway here. Go subscribe right now. You can find it, the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Show. Just go find it wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe now. The first episode's going to drop next week. I feel like I have been this balloon swelling, and I don't mean physically. I don't mean only physically.
Metaphorically,
of like just needing to get more Dynasty.
Metaphysically.
Metaphysically.
You're just full of Dynasty
just
gas.
Needing to get out all this Dynasty stuff. And so now we're going to, that's all going to, gas is coming out on that show. And you're going to love it.
So the show will be a weekly Dynasty episode starting Wednesday, April 5th. You can go subscribe right now. It will release next Wednesday, and then it will run through
It will run through July.
Yes.
And then normally, starting next year, it will be more like a February through July. So, you know, an off-season Dynasty, talk rookies, talk startup drafts, talk all of our strategies, things that we have done, what we have learned over the last, you know, whatever, 6-7 years of playing Dynasty. It, like, the format is growing. It's extremely fun, and people can be a little intimidated to get into it. And the Fantasy Footballers, we're not, while we play Dynasty and we talk about it on this show, that's not that's not the meat and potatoes of this podcast, and we wanted to dive deeper. So
yeah,
now
a lot of people want to, yeah, like you said, dig a little deeper. Now the format of the show will be hosted by the Borgogan himself. Matthew Betts will be on the show, and a baller. So it's Borg Betts and a baller.
That's right.
Although in week one, I believe it is two ballers.
It is.
And a Borg.
Yeah.
So tune in. The cast of characters will shift around a little bit. But the Dynasty, I mean, now we got them off our back. I mean, that's the
that's
real
right.
key. And like you said, we spun up a brand new podcast for all of you. And You know how inflation is. Material costs, very expensive these days.
Yes.
All of the steel and wood and
megabytes
supplies.
And
yeah, everything
gigabytes.
Is, you know, stuck at the docks to get this show ready. But we
did it.
Yeah, we got it out of customs, and it's coming your way.
Tune
yeah.
in for the Charbonnet Hour. Wednesday, April 5th.
Yeah, my man.
That's true. So very excited about that. The announcement has been made. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
We are going to talk about this next piece of news for a moment now and then probably more later. But Lamar Jackson has requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens.
What's the source?
Lamar Jackson.
Ah, that's a good one.
He says, quote, in regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization for which the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that has met me or been around me know I love the game of football and my dream is to help a team.
Win a Super Bowl.
No, they just said help a team.
No, it's his next tweet. It's a threaded tweet that goes on a little bit more in depth. But it's funny that this is breaking right now.
His dream is also to get 200 plus million guaranteed and help the team.
He's got big dreams, Mike. Yeah. He's got big dreams. It's funny because when this came out, really, yesterday, it was like starting to circulate that he's requested a trade. You go, well, you know, what is the difference between the franchise tag he's on where teams can go and offer? Because let's say none of this came to fruition, this whole franchise tag, and someone was just going to trade for Lamar Jackson regardless of contract situation. It would be at least two firsts, right? To trade
Minimum.
For an in their prime NFL MVP would be two firsts. So the franchise tag that he's on is almost like an open trade market, except when a team goes through that process, they are at the whim of the Ravens being able to just go, yeah, okay, thanks for doing all that work. We'll sign on the dotted line, and you don't get anything. You wasted your time. You wasted your money. You had it wrapped up during free agency, doing the contract negotiations for us. Now you negotiate a trade, and it's guaranteed. You're going to get them. Baltimore would be saying, yes, we accept.
The whole situation is a mess for Baltimore. And we're going to talk about it more later. The NFL sent out a memo informing all the teams that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not an agent. Now, the Ken Francis situation, from what I understand, this is a member of Lamar Jackson's group. And so this is the NFL basically saying, look, this is not a certified agent.
Which
he does not have the right to like negotiate on behalf of Lamar Jackson.
And Lamar said this did not happen. He also tweeted that, why are you guys talking about this? There's the whole Lamar Jackson situation is insanity. Mm-hmm. The fact an MVP, you could go get an MVP for two first round picks and a maximum guaranteed contract. And yet, at least through the rumor mill, we have heard nothing, which is shocking.
Well, and you have, you know, Jim Harbaugh saying we want him back. We love him. When he's ready to get back on the train, we're gonna go. I know that a lot has been happening. This is March 2nd. He requested the trade.
Mm-hmm.
So behind the scenes, you've had negotiations, discussions. Now it's coming out, and you're using public pressure to attempt to gain some leverage. I don't think it's an impossibility by any stretch that they just come to terms and he's a Raven.
Sure.
You know, you have these situations where they look bad, and then Aaron Rodgers signs a 2-year deal. You know, like last offseason, it wasn't exactly a delight for the Aaron Rodgers situation. So I don't know what's going to take place. It seems like the Ravens are botching this thing is that your...
I don't know. I feel like Lamar is botching this. And not that the Ravens aren't. Both parties aren't doing great here. And I think it really does come down to the fact that he doesn't have an agent. It's not the usual practices that are going... Even like over the last two seasons when negotiations were trying to be done on the normal timeline that his caliber of NFL quarterbacks, are getting restructured contracts. Kyler Murray drafted after him got, you know, a restructured contract. And then as soon as the season hit, Lamar was like, no, I'm focused on football, which is smart if you're your own agent. But it's just not smart to be your own agent at the quarterback position. So I put a lot of the blame, not like I don't blame him as far as I completely understand where Lamar's coming from, but the blame of the situation to be so mismanaged is because I believe he doesn't have proper representation.
And you just don't know what is true and what's false on the reports. Correct. You don't know. Lamar says he's not asking for all guaranteed money. I mean, multiple times he's come out and said that's not true. But then everything behind the scenes, all the reports say, oh, that's what he wants, and that's the pitfall of it. I mean, if he doesn't want all this money in terms of guarantees, then I am just shocked they don't have a deal yet.
And we don't know what is the real Baltimore offer, because the one that Lamar put out there was 130. Like, it was a guaranteed up to 130, and then there's probably some injury guarantees on top of it, compared to the Deshaun 200-plus guaranteed contract. Like, so is the difference of what they're offering and what Lamar wants, is it really like $70 million? Because that's how negotiations just, like, we're done here. We can't even have a conversation because we're so far apart.
All right, moving on. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the free agent Ezekiel Elliott has, quote, narrowed his options down to the Eagles.
Okay.
The Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals, which brings us to...
It's the Bijan Minute. Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know this was coming.
I didn't either. That's fun.
That is. Let's hear that again.
It's the Bijan Minute. Yeah.
It's the Bijan Minute, Jason. How are you interpreting this wonderful Ezekiel Elliott narrowing his options to the Eagles, Jets, and Bengals news?
Yeah, well,
in the context of the much more important Bijan Robinson,
right? For sure. When I saw this, you know, the options narrowed to those teams, my first
did
thought
one of them
was,
stand out to you?
Well, my first thought was, are these teams interested in Zeke? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, okay, Zeke says I want to play for one of these guys. That's great. Do they want you? And I don't know. Let's say they do. Let's say that those three teams are interested. They have talked to Zeke, and he said it's between those three teams. Obviously, if he goes to the Jets, that's not Bijan. That's Brees, baby. And I would be a little bit sad.
A little?
I believe Brees would win out. And I do. I think that he would. Ezekiel Elliott is not getting some massive, gargantuan contract. I don't believe that. I think that he's going to go to a team, get paid, you know, a few million dollars, $3-4 million. And
sure, but
you look at Tony Pollard last year. Tony Pollard was what the running back like 7 or something.
Yeah, he was fantastic. But I mean, if Zeke goes to the Jets, I mean, you can take away. What, six or so rushing touchdowns for Brees? All that will go to Ezekiel Elliott.
You also have the return of Nathaniel Hackett, who decided even timeshare of Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon was the appropriate course of action for that team.
Nathaniel Hackett is the biggest concern for me for Brees Hall in general, with or without Zeke. I don't trust him at all.
Then obviously the Bijan Minute would include the Eagles as a prime destination. That would be, I mean, that would be not off the board, but unlikely to invest a first round pick trade up, which they'd probably need to do after signing Zeke and after, you know, Kenneth Gainwell and company. So that would you imagine that would take them out of the Bijan running?
They would not double down and go after Zeke and Bijan for the Eagles. Right now, the betting odds have the Eagles the highest odd, and it's not a minus odd, so it's still a little bit of a long shot, but the highest odds of their first draft pick is to select Bijan Robinson, which seems crazy.
That'd
because
be
that
wild.
Does, I just can't
That's
imagine a, the Eagles organization spending, would that be pick
10? Number 10.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
I
the Eagles are too smart for that. I love Bijan. That's not the right play. And then as far as the Bengals are one of my two favorite destinations for Bijan. This would be really good news for Ezekiel Elliott, I believe. If they were to sign Zeke and let Joe Mixon go for financial means, P. Ryan is gone, a good offense, this would take Zeke, and I mean, he should be a first-round pick at the end of the first round, and he won't probably be drafted there because he's been older and falling in drafts. I believe he'll be a really good value if he ends up with the Bengals.
All right. There you go. couple other pieces of news. The Cardinals, it's being reported, they have granted DeAndre Hopkins permission to speak to other teams about a trade. I mean, I guess we knew that they were shopping him. Maybe this is next steps, having those discussions with teams, maybe in particular about contract adjustments. John Lynch of the 49ers made it clear that Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, and Sam Darnold will all compete for the 49ers quarterback job.
What? Okay, look.
But that Purdy is the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, which that makes complete sense when you have a player come out of kind of nowhere and be an incredible quarterback for your team and winning. And it, like, there's a very strong chance that they end up in the Super Bowl had Brock Purdy not been unable to throw a football in a playoff game. But the problem here with this sentence is the fact that John Lynch did in fact include Sam Darnold into this. Like, that was his quote.
To me, that is bad.
Yeah.
For Trey Lance.
100%.
Because you don't include.
It's bad for everybody.
But listen, there is something here. First of all, he also said later that Brock Purdy has earned the right to be the starter.
Yes, and he has.
But you don't. Here's what that sentence to me is, and tell me if I'm reading into it too much. Purdy might not be ready, and saying Trey Lance is the starter is not appropriate in terms of motivating Trey Lance, getting him to take a step forward. Like, this is your number two pick. You could have just been saying,
"Could be
Purdy's going to be the starter. Trey Lance, he's got it till he's healthy," or any mixture of that. I feel like putting Sam Darnold in there is another one of those weird scratch your head moments for the 49ers and Trey Lance. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is it like the, you know, like when a shooter, to get a basketball reference, like when a shooter, you know, they're struggling and they're just like, get to the free throw line because the free throws are easy. Get back in your rhythm. Is that the Sam Darnold is like the free throw attempt for Trey Lance?
Just get back into your rhythm.
Yeah, just beat out the competition. We're going to give you Sam Darnold. We're going to make it as easy as possible.
Just beat
Sam Darnold. And if, in fact, you can't beat out Sam Darnold, then we're going to just release you. We're going to eat the dead cap.
If you start Sam Darnold over Trey Lance, you should release Trey Lance.
Yes.
is 100% what that should be in every contract for every quarterback. If Sam Darnold takes a snap over you, you are granted your release because the embarrassment would be worse than you collecting money behind him.
It will be a ceremony after the first snap of the game. Like it won't
the whole thing.
No, it will be. They will bring you to the center of the 50, and we will all wave goodbye.
Okay,
take your helmet off.
Yeah,
bring the card out.
The patch of the team logo is ripped off,
and then they wave goodbye.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, unfortunately, this is. Kyle Shanahan has had a healthy quarterback 1 of 6 years in San Francisco. Did you realize that? 1 of 6 years.
Was that the Super Bowl year?
Yeah, he went to the Super Bowl with it.
Here's what is insane. We are talking about Mr. Relevant, 7th round, final pick of the draft, injured, who is the presumed starter if he can get back healthy, / a Trey Lance who might or might not be able to beat a Sam Darnold. We're talking about this, and yet DraftKings came out with their team over-unders, highest in the NFC. We're talking about a three-way quarterback calamity.
Yeah, the
and
number
they have
one
the
team.
Highest win total at 11.5 wins. That is absolutely insane for a league where quarterback matters so much.
That's what we've been saying all along. Quarterback, just it doesn't matter.
It is. That is crazy. But Trey Lance, if he doesn't start, if Purdy's hurt and he doesn't start,
you have
Trey Lance and Zach Wilson might as well be like synonyms for one another in terms of how the team has to approach it. Because the Jets are saying all the right things about Zach Wilson because you got no choice but to say the right things about him because he's on your team. And that's the same way it's going to feel with Lance if he doesn't
win this
job. There's
a big difference. And the difference is other NFL teams have seen enough of Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Other NFL teams haven't seen Trey Lance, and so it's like, maybe you want to trade for him.
Yeah, maybe. I think people would do that with Zach Wilson, too, to be honest with you.
Really?
Absolutely.
Someone would someone gave Sam Darnold.
The Cardinals,
they traded for Darnold down in
Carolina.
Cardinals
traded Josh Rosen for a 2nd-round draft pick.
Suckers.
Okay, there's always the hope when you're drafted that high.
And or this conversation is being kind of filtered through a negative lens for Trey Lance. There is still a world where Trey Lance is very good.
Oh, he could be.
We have no idea. We have no idea. He played in a monsoon, and then he broke his ankle. That's what we saw of Trey Lance.
And he could be bad and great for fantasy. That is also true. Another middle ground. Broncos, two bits of news I want to share about them. One, Sean Payton said they're not trading Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. So that'll be true until it's not.
Mm-hmm. Coach
now,
speak.
No, hold on. Quote, we're not trading those two players.
When talking about Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton.
Right. They are not trading those two.
Right.
So what, Hamler and...
No, he's saying no. One of them.
One of them could be traded. I'm just saying, if the quote is specifically, we're not trading those two players, if they do trade Cortland Sutton, I was not a liar. I said we're not trading those two.
And then they signed Jarrett Stidham to a very lucrative backup contract. And then when asked about Russell Wilson's knee scope, said, quote, that's something we're probably not going to talk about probably ever.
Okay.
What is happening, Al,
did you enjoy that?
I had not heard that, but that's a great quote.
I'm going to use that when you come for a race.
Look,
we're probably never, ever going to talk about that probably ever.
I think you have used that.
Yeah. But Jarrett Stidham is a high-end backup to me with the amount of money they paid him. So it's just worth noting that, like, for some reason, Jarrett Stidham is, like, best friends with all the coaches, I feel like.
Yeah.
They all love him. He did have a very nice end of the season last year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. All right. We got more news?
Yeah.
DJ Chark, one-year deal, $5 million.
With the Panthers.
Thank you.
That means he is the number one wide receiver for the Panthers.
No.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Yep. It does. It is.
No.
Yep.
You won't acknowledge Adam Thielen's presence despite being paid much more money than DJ Chark.
Yeah. No, my point is I believe DJ Chark is going to be a better wide receiver than Adam Thielen.
You want to bet on it?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Water bet.
Fantasy points?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Per game. Because I imagine both are going to miss time.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I think it's
I can see DJ Chark having one game of the year and being really good.
Yeah.
It's a good signing for the Panthers.
Agreed.
It's a weird... Yeah, it is. It is a good signing. They'll probably... What's going to happen is this team's going to spend a draft pick on a wide receiver. You'll end up with a wide receiver room of like Thielen...
Can they?
And
what picks do they have
Zay
now?
Flowers and DJ Chark and... I think they're going to add somebody. Yeah. I think that's what you do with. You have a brand new rookie quarterback coming in with the number one pick. I think you add.
I suppose they still have pick 39 in the second round. Kyle, is that right?
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, new quarterback. Giants signed Jameson Crowder. We already talked about that. I believe we mentioned that.
I don't know
Jameson
if we did.
Jameson Crowder on a one-year deal. And then the.
What are the Giants doing with. Like, you have Crowder, you have Wandale. Mm-hmm. They signed Paris Campbell. Mm-hmm. They brought Sterling Shepard back.
Yeah, it's a shotgun approach. It's one
to one to the slot wide receiver
yes,
position.
They want to.
It's a slot gun approach.
All these little BBs, and then they're just hoping it sprays across the NFL field, and someone could get open and
so
catch the ball.
Weird.
And then Foster Moreau, who I had hoped would be signing with the Cincinnati Bengals to reunite with his collegiate quarterback. Joe Burrow, he announced he has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He will be stepping away from football. The only comments I saw on this were from him directly and just saying he's going to work to get healthy and get back on the field. So we obviously wish him the very best. It was good fortune, he said, mm-hmm. for his free agency period because he was doing physicals with these teams, and that's how he discovered the cancer.
I believe the Saints found it, and so it's good to find it, and he's going to come back strong.
All right, do we have any other news, Brooksy?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, let me know if anything breaks, and let's take a quick break of our own and come back with some winners and losers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. I believe when we first were, proposed the idea of a dynasty podcast.
You talking about the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty podcast launching on Wednesday, April 5th?
That's available right. to subscribe right now?
Currently,
I,
yeah.
I think our I looked up the quote when we were first asked to do that, and we said, quote, that's something we're probably not going to talk about probably ever. So.
Yeah, well, the small probability. It worked out.
All right, let's move on.
We're going to win. We're going to win!
I did not remember that drop.
I liked it.
Winners and losers for free agency thus far. We've each selected a winner.
Oh, I see Andy's got a big winner.
And a loser. And we're going to talk about those right now. Mike, why don't you go first?
All right. My biggest winner of the free agency period, it's Tony Pollard to me, because number one, Andy stole the answer I would have gone with, but that's all right. So I can talk about Tony Pollard, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. They got the franchise tag, and then they've had to make some decisions for all of the, look, it, the salary cap in the NFL is very difficult because oftentimes it seems like it's not real at all. We have these void years where they spread out contracts, but then you get situations like this, especially, I feel like it happens to Dallas a lot. Like, you had the DeMarcus Ware situation, you had Amari Cooper just last year, and this year it turned into Ezekiel Elliott, who, like, he is not young Zeke, but he is still a good football player and can still help a team, but not for the contract that he was on for the Dallas Cowboys. And, like, Tony Pollard, the numbers, I mean, last year he was absolutely sensational. You know, third most 15-yard runs, the sixth most touchdowns, second in yards per reception. Per a tweet from our friend Jared Smola, he looked up in 11 games of Tony Pollard where we've seen him with 50-plus percent of the snaps. He's averaged over 19 PPR points per game, which on a season the last 2 years, that would be the running back four. Tony Pollard is extremely talented. We'll see what Coach McCarthy, like, we'll see if he completely dismantles and defangs this offense, moving it to just a run situation. But Tony Pollard looks locked and loaded. Just, he looks so fantastic right now to be a true stud fantasy running back. Hopefully he can get a long-term contract, but this is a fantasy football show, and in just 1 year in Dallas, he's going
to
be great.
It's an interesting situation for Tony Pollard, because to me, the only thing that could potentially stand in his way from a headlining season would be injury, because we had not seen Tony Pollard with more than 15 attempts at the NFL level until week 10 last year. Like, he had never had that kind of opportunity before. When he got it, RB7, RB1, RB2.
He's great.
You know, and if they're going to run the football a lot, look, Ronald Jones, probably not standing in the way from production.
Of anyone ever.
But also, probably not that different on the football field than maybe what Zeke was producing at that stage of his career. Tony Pollard will have plenty of opportunities in this offense. It will be, there is the variable of not having Kellen Moore, right? Because you're going to have a different offense regardless of how it breaks down pass and run.
And just setting up, like, Tony Pollard's not a Zeke style of runner. He's shifty. He's fast. He's agile. You need to get him out in space. Can Coach McCarthy draw those plays up the way that Kellen Moore was drawing them up?
All right. I'm going to let Jason go next.
Sure. Save the best for last, because I, too, would have chosen your free agent winner. But to me personally,
this one was surprising to me.
Davante Adams is my biggest winner because of what I thought was going to happen this year to the Raiders organization. I figured that they were going to be playing with the fourth best rookie quarterback going into this season, playing with a Will Levis or someone like that. This is what I thought Davante Adams' situation was going to be, a very bad situation going into an age that you think, okay, he's going to start twilighting. Nothing on film obviously said Davante Adams lost anything. He was unbelievable last year. I think they made a great transaction here at the quarterback position. Is Garoppolo as good as Derek Carr? Maybe, maybe not. Let's say he's a little less good. He's not a teardrop down, and he is way cheaper. So from an organizational standpoint, I completely get it. He can support wide receiver ones, and you have the absence of Darren Waller. Darren Waller made a big impact on Davante Adams last year. You had basically a split season, 9 games where Darren Waller was there, 8 games where Darren Waller wasn't there, and Davante Adams was way more dominant when Darren Waller was off the field. More targets, more receptions, more yards, and more touchdowns per game. He was on a 15 touchdown, 1,712 reception pace during the 8 games missed with Darren Waller. And, yeah, they signed Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is a fine slot wide receiver. He's probably going to more replace Hunter Renfro than Darren Waller. Darren Waller is not a target earner. Darren Waller is a target requirer. You know, he is a difference maker you have to throw the ball to. He's gone. So, to me, this isn't so much things have gotten so much better for Davante Adams. It's things looked like they were going to be terrible for Davante Adams, and instead, because of this free agency time, he's right back at, you know, he should be drafted at the end of the first round, and it'll be worth it.
So in some ways, he was the biggest not loser.
Yes, that is a great summation. He is the biggest.
Because you thought he was
going
to be a loser.
Absolutely.
But he's not. Not loser.
And I don't have all the numbers right in front of me in particular for this stat, but the only thing I'll say is, like, obviously Jacoby Myers is a hands guy. He's going to be close to the line of scrimmage. Will Jimmy G do enough to throw the ball down the field?
Yeah, well, that's my biggest question.
Because there were so many times Adams just disappeared, and then at the end of the play, Derek Carr was willing to launch it. Hopefully the presence of Adams will allow him to do that. But Jimmy succeeded with, you know, give Debo the ball on a slant and let Debo run it for a million yards.
Yeah, I mean, the Shanahan system is obviously very different. We haven't seen Garoppolo in an air it out type of system, but we have seen Davante Adams play a number of different ways, right? Last year, 15.2 yards per reception for Davante Adams. That's actually not been what Davante Adams' game has been. When he was with Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about a guy who is usually 11.9, 12 yards per reception. You know, just like he is a possession receiver, so maybe some of the big long plays come down, but I think volume even goes up.
Well, both guys wanted to say the name that I'm going to bring up, which is Justin Fields.
Oh, yes.
Justin Fields was a very clear winner this offseason.
Yes.
Secured the starting job
yeah.
by the Bears trading him, trading the number one pick away.
Yeah, he did that.
secured a top flight wide receiver, DJ Moore's arrival in Chicago.
Yeah, right.
You know, the team is going to be guaranteed to be improved on both sides of the ball due to the draft capital acquired by the Bears. And I think he's going to be a future fantasy Hall of Famer this year. I mean,
you're darn right he is.
Justin Wheels himself will be given opportunities with the ball in his hands and then with receivers that can make a lot of plays. And, you know, offensive line is a position I think they'll address in the first round. Their win total's at 7.5. They haven't seen that in a long time. This is a team that has, you know, Justin Fields is somebody that you might have been freaking out in a dynasty league. Like, I don't know, Trey Lance right now.
Yes, that's not great. That is not great.
But it's over. The freak out is over. Justin Fields is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, this was Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles had a bunch of draft capital. Oh, would they replace him? They're going to give him a shot. They're going to give him an opportunity. They go and they get him weapons, and all of a sudden he explodes, becomes as good as you can get for fantasy, pretty much as good as you can get for the NFL. And now the same situation, a lot of similarities here with Justin Fields, a mobile quarterback that could have been replaced. They had the capital to replace him, and they said, no, we're going to invest in you. And he's shown enough on the field. Like, with DJ Moore, with a healthy Darnell Mooney.
The thing I was going to say, the other similarity to Hurts was that we spent a lot of the offseason talking about low pass attempt numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That was a problem. So now you get to see, not that everybody does the same thing. Now, you know, Jalen Hurts, what he did was kind of incredible, right?
Yes.
All the way to the Super Bowl. But you added A.J. Brown last offseason. And while DJ Moore's not A.J. Brown, he's a really good receiver. And getting Mooney back and fixing the offensive line so that maybe he could go through more than one read. So, yeah, the parallels are there. I'm going to name some other potential winners. I want you to tell me if you agree. Daniel Jones.
He was in consideration
financially
for my, he was in consideration for my winner of, he was like, it wasn't, you know, just an outrageously fantastic year, but in terms of fantasy, he was the quarterback 9, 3,200 yards, only 15 passing touchdowns, but 700 rushing yards. Cause he does that in seven on the ground, seven scores on the ground. Adding Darren Waller. Like, I think it's a big deal. Darren Waller won't be what he was, you know, when he had the breakout campaign, when he morphed into the Walrus, but it's a huge upgrade for what Daniel Jones was working with. And then they keep adding these slot wide receivers. Maybe one of them hits, maybe Wandale Robinson comes back from the ACL injury and he's good to go. But I expect we'll see more volume from Daniel Jones after the acquisition of Darren Waller.
Well, and Daniel Jones is now, you know, he's going to be the starting quarterback for another year for fantasy. Jordan Love becomes a starter. Jimmy Garoppolo secured as a starter. Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Rashad Penny. Do you think that those are all winners?
Currently, yes.
Yeah, it's TBD on some of those running backs. Miles Sanders, Rashad Penny, they look, or Miles Sanders definitely a winner, but Rashad Penny and Khalil Herbert, those two guys.
You're holding your breath a little bit.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's their opportunity could be incredible, and they could be just vaporized in the draft. You know what I mean? They could just poof, vanish.
Is Darren Waller a winner or a loser?
I'd say probably a winner.
Yeah.
I'll put him in a winner. Like, because Davante Adams is the number one on the team. There's a very strong chance that Darren Waller goes back to being the number one on the Giants.
If you look at fantasy tight ends who are good, they are few and far between, and they're usually the number one target on their team. You know, when Mark Andrews was the number one target, Kelsey's the number one target. I think Waller has a legitimate shot to be that number one target. Probably should be the number one target for this offense.
What was the pass attempts per game for Daniel Jones?
Let's see. He threw the ball 472 times, averaged 29.5 passing attempts.
That was pure math in his head right there.
Yes.
Amazing.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Amazing. Don't check the tape. All right, let's go ahead and look at the biggest losers of free agency. Jason, I'm going to hand you the baton right now because I agree with this one. I had put my answer in, and then when I saw yours, I was like, yeah, that's a bad offseason.
Yeah, it is sayonara to the truthers of DeAndre Swift. I'm not saying he's a bad player at all. He's a very good player, explosive athlete, great running back. But for fantasy purposes and for the people that believe that DeAndre Swift was a top five running back locked and loaded. He's going to have a three-year stretch of being a top six guy and a real true fantasy football legend. That's not happening. The Detroit Lions don't want it to happen. They don't believe that they can give him a workload that is valuable. I mean, you saw that this last year. Even when he got back from injury, I mean, those first two games, you were like, oh, it's going to be DeAndre Swift's team. He got injured, like he always does, comes back from injury, fully healthy, off of practice reports.
That one week.
And it was just, it was Jamal Williams. It was, you know, who do we trust at the goal line? Who's the big power back? And the goal line work is going to go to David Montgomery here. If you look at the split between Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, they do not trust DeAndre Swift. I mean, he had a couple carries in there. They put him in. He's going to get a couple next year. But the vast majority are going to go to David Montgomery. And David Montgomery's done that through his career. This last season, not a lot of goal line opportunities with Justin Fields and, you know, a bat. I mean, there's a reason they had the number one pick. They didn't win a lot of games, and they weren't in scoring opportunities quite as often. But the 3 years prior, you're talking about 23 attempts inside the 10-yard line, 24, 23. Inside the five zone, 18 attempts, 14 attempts. 12. He's got experience in that role. I think that's why they went after him. They signed him. So, to me, the fantasy value of DeAndre Swift is kaput as far as being any kind of massive presence for fantasy football.
I can tell you that there will be people, and I don't know if I'm going to join them, but that are going to try to find a way to make the path for Swift in their brain.
I think I'm one of them.
I'm like, is this the time to go buy him in Dynasty? Like, the price is so low. Everyone's out on this conversation. He's the biggest loser of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a mistake. Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying is probably 100% true, but it's hard when talent. And I think this is the position that Gibson was in. I mean, it's so similar where it's like, oh, you know, Gibson's good. So it's going to work out, right? Talent wins, right?
Usually it does. I mean, so last year he averaged 42% of snaps per game, and he was the running back 22. Now you go back, you know, to his rookie year, he averaged 47%, was the running back 18. Like, he can be a part-time player and still make an impact for fantasy football. I think what Jace is just pointing out is that ceiling of where you're like, DeAndre Swift, this is it. Top five season coming for DeAndre Swift. I don't think that's happening. So, Jason, in your perspective, you've got him in Dynasty right now. Are you riding it out knowing that he has potential upside as the one being a timeshare, and then if David Montgomery misses time, maybe you have a true breakout from Swift, or Are you trying to flip him, and what is that?
Yeah, I mean,
what are you looking for in compensation?
It depends on what you could get for him. There are enough
first round pick,
the 107.
Those type of trades, when you're talking 105, 6, 7, that could be a yes, that could be a no. But you can't do it now. You have to wait until after the NFL draft so you can actually see, okay, Charbonnet went here, the surprising running back went there, however the NFL draft plays out. But yes, what I am saying is not that DeAndre Swift is dead and gone, won't be valuable, can't be used for fantasy. What I'm saying is his upside as a workhorse back, as a league-winning back.
We're not disagreeing.
That is kaput. He's going to be an RB2. And really, if you take those first two games out for DeAndre Swift, because he played still the majority of the season, didn't feel like it. You take those first two games out, the 12 games that he played, you're talking about a 17-game pace of 484 rushing yards. Not good.
Yeah. I mean, that's not where he excels, though. He dominates
463 receiving yards. So combined rushing receiving on a 17-game pace would have been not 1,000 total.
I'm going to force you to answer it, though, because the trade just hit your inbox. DeAndre Swift, somebody's offering you the 107 today. Do you accept that trade? Which do you want?
I think I do.
Because you did a really nice political maneuver before.
Because
you're right. If you knew the answers to where everybody went, it'd be easier. But what do you do today? You think you take it?
I feel like 107.
Yeah, I feel like the 107 is not getting you. You're not replacing running back.
No.
But
no.
You're getting one of the wide receivers.
You're getting
receivers.
Zay Flowers where he lands.
Maybe you're getting Jalen Hyatt,
yeah.
Josh Downs. That you're getting probably that type of a player.
So Jalen Hyatt is who I have as my seventh pick right now pre-NFL draft. I would not make that trade. And truly, I think you can get better. There are always DeAndre Swift truthers in your league that will still believe
They're
it.
Thinning out.
They are thinning out, but it doesn't
Dalvin Cook or DeAndre Swift in a dynasty league.
Oh man!
Because
oh.
I have Kyle and Jeremy's team over there.
Yeah,
listening to offers,
wow.
And I'm sitting here going, "What do I type back to them?"
I've
got Dalvin Cook on my roster,
so I would rather have Dalvin Cook because I want a chance at a championship, and I think that this coming season, Dalvin Cook—I don't even know where he plays—but he has a higher ceiling than Swift. Obviously, if I am not in championship mode, if I am a team that is more in a rebuild, I'd rather take the hope of the age of DeAndre Swift and say, I hope he's traded somewhere. I hope he gets a second contract for a different team and gets the, because his talent is there. So if I'm not able to win a championship, I'd rather have Swift. But if I'm going for it, if I think I could take that gold home, you've got to make those moves sometimes and actually put your team over the top to not just make the playoffs, but win a championship.
All right. For me, the biggest loser it's the Ravens organization. On multiple fronts. Let's start with the fact they don't have a quarterback. Let's move on to the fact that they've done nothing to help whatever quarterback they have.
Nelson Aguilar.
Nelson Aguilar is the free agent pickup at wide receiver.
Oh, man, that's so Ravens.
Yeah. 30-year-old wide receiver? Yeah. Welcome.
Do they have a plan of any kind? They've addressed nothing this offseason. If they don't have a quarterback, Mark Andrews goes down. J.K. Dobbins, I don't want to see J.K. Dobbins not catch passes and not be around the goal line because they don't have a quarterback. This offseason has been really, I think, the worst in football so far. And I'm not saying that, you know, look, if they make a splash, they sign, you know, you could fix it.
Yeah, but as of today, I mean, it's bad vibes everywhere there. Their team looks like they're in some weird holding pattern that they can't get out of, and that they won't. I mean, right now it feels like they'll never get out of it. You're right, Andy, to bring up like the Aaron Rodgers situation a couple years ago where it was like it seemed like he was gone, and then eventually they just re-signed him and he won, you know, NFL MVP again.
Yep. But like you have current teammates, you have former teammates,
mm-hmm.
all jumping on social media of like
bashing the organization.
Like, yeah, I don't want to be this guy, but everything you're hearing about the Ravens, the way that they treat this position or they handle it, it's like, yeah, it's true. It's true. They just don't care.
It's just the vibes are bad, the situation, and how it will meander into other talents. I mean, Rashad Bateman didn't even get brought up, right? He's supposed to be running now and going to be healthy.
He got brought up a little bit when Mike said that players are complaining about the
yes.
organization.
Yeah, that's
true.
He was one
that's
of those
true.
Guys.
So.
That's a good point. I mean, look, it's just to me, it's the worst offseason situation. And, you know, you will hit a point where even if he comes back, you're going to be a little bit, like, let's say he's back tomorrow, you still didn't fix the wide receiver position for Lamar Jackson. And that, like, he played football last year, right?
Right.
And not having wide receivers was a problem for him then. And I don't think Rashad Bateman can carry the load. I don't. So, and it is weird. Yeah, Kyle, you're right. I mean, Baltimore has been the model organization, and something's come to a head this offseason, and I don't think I'm saying anything Baltimore fans would be disagreeing with right now, other than hoping that it gets remedied.
The nice thing is that this has been such a long-standing, well-run organization that I still have trust that it all gets figured out, that they end up fine enough, maybe not this season, but 2 years from now. You know, this isn't the Browns, who, like, man, are they going to figure it out? Oh, probably not. They're the Browns.
All right, Mike, who is your biggest loser of the offseason?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is the doctor. It is Dalton Schultz, who, I mean, Jason, you were advocating of Lamar Jackson needs an agent. I don't know what Dalton Schultz's agent did, but it's kind of career destroying in my opinion what has happened here. Excuse me. Dalton Schultz was on a true breakout trajectory with the Dallas Cowboys. You had last year where he was the tight end three for fantasy, which that's what we love. But for football, like, he was a good player, over 800 yards, almost 80 receptions, 8 touchdowns. This year was a down season for him. You know, the numbers dropped to 577 and 5 touchdowns. But
he had all the knee injuries.
He was injured. He had to deal with the Cooper Rush experiment. And over the second half, after the bye week, like, it was kind of up and down. But overall, things were pretty good. But he was playing on the franchise tag, so it was just a 1 year. He gets, you know, nearly $11 million guaranteed, so good for him. But that's because they couldn't agree on a long-term deal heading into last year. They couldn't agree again, and now he's on the Houston Texans, a rebuilding franchise. He will be playing with a rookie quarterback. That's not good for reestablishing your value if you're trying to put up just raw numbers for teams to look at and get goo-goo eyes for, of like, look what Dalton Schultz did last year. Let's get him on the team. And his contract, it is a 1 year, up to $9 million. Ladies and gentlemen, out there, maybe some of you know, some of you don't. You ever heard of a tight end named Josh Oliver?
Well, I was just looking at this.
Well, that guy got a 3-year deal worth up to $21 million with $10.7 million in guaranteed money. That is more guaranteed money than Dalton Schultz got to go play for the Houston Texans.
And he rejected a deal, right?
Because last offseason, the numbers we got were it was a 3-year, $36 million offer. And he said no to that and bet on himself and whoops-a-doozles because it's done. Like, for fantasy football, if you held on to Dalton Schultz, just really, really hoping that Dallas was going to get the extension.
You don't see the silver lining here?
No.
I see.
No Brandon Cooks.
I see nothing.
I see a path of fantasy relevance. We just talked about tight ends to be relevant.
Not with a rookie quarterback.
In fantasy football, have to be the number one target. He could be the number one target for this team, but you're right. Not a lot of scoring opportunities, a rookie quarterback. We know, I mean, you know, going into last year, I was down on Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson is way better than Dalton Schultz. It was because there was a rookie quarterback. They don't really sustain a lot of production from the receiving core in their rookie season, even when you're good. There are very few exceptions. Not everyone is Justin Herbert as a rookie.
Right.
The vast majority aren't even great quarterbacks. I mean, you're talking about first ballot Hall of Famers playing their whole first rookie season. Usually they aren't that good. So you're right. It's not a perfect situation for him. I think fantasy value-wise, he's not dead and dusted because he could be the number one target. Where he's the biggest loser, though, is I think there was an expectation coming that he was getting a huge payday this offseason is what they thought last offseason.
Does he have, like, a nice place in Houston that he didn't want to? I'm trying to, like, with a really nice community pool or something.
Maybe.
I'm just trying to figure out why.
I hope he didn't spend too much on it.
I just can't imagine he couldn't have gotten that exact deal with Dallas.
Yeah, I do not know.
Other than trying to save face. That's what it feels like, right? Because how do you not get a 1-year deal with Dallas that lets Zeke go?
Yeah, that would...
And they already reworked contracts in Dallas.
It would feel bad, considering you were on the franchise tag for nearly 11 last year, and if you come back to the team, you're like, fine, I'll play 1 year, $9 million. But long-term, that would have been a much better situation.
Dalton, shoot.
Yeah, it sucks. He's a good player, but...
Do we know what his guaranteed money is?
We still do not know.
Okay. I'm.
That's how good the contract is. The details are still being withheld.
I'm worried about that. I feel like I'm worried it's going to come out and it's going to be like $3.5 million dollars guaranteed.
Oh, come on. No.
I hope it's six, but probably not.
Oh, man.
Other losers this offseason, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney. You know, Claypool more than Mooney.
Yeah.
Mooney's a... reason being, Mooney's a great player. Claypool is sometimes okay at, you know, sometimes makes a play. Mooney is a great player.
I feel like Chase Claypool, they need to, you have to figure out how to use him. And the problem with that is you see a giant superhero of a human being. He's 6'4", nearly 240 pounds, ran a 4.42. Like, so that puts your speed score in the 96th. the 83rd percentile. His athleticism is in the 96th percentile. And you see that, and you go, run him down the side, just outside of the numbers, 50-50 ball. But he's not good at that. He, despite his size, he does not excel at that. But for that size and speed, there has to be a way that this guy can really contribute to an NFL team. But it's not the normal put him on the outside.
Yeah, and I just don't know if the ship sailed for him.
Because
sometimes
it's
these
it's
physical specimens, you know, you just get to a point. But I'm not sure. They thought he was worth a second-round pick. Is that right?
Yes.
Whoopsie-doozles.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show. A couple reminders. Number one, Dynasty Show next week. Make sure you go subscribe right now. Just search Fantasy Footballers Dynasty. Follow the show, Apple, Spotify. We'll share it on socials. You'll be able to click the button, follow along. It's going to be fun. Secondly, we are up for a couple of podcast awards. If you want to take a moment this morning.
And you do.
And you might.
You do.
You do.
Come on. Come on.
Right now, where do I go?
You go to footclanvote.com, clickety-click a couple buttons, and you do us a favor. So footclanvote.com for that. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. We'll be back with another episode on Thursday. Maybe I'll have DeAndre Swift on my team. I don't know. We'll find out.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of the podcast. Since you're still hanging around, I'd like to personally invite you to become a part of our thriving fantasy football community. Get access to exclusive Discord channels, extra episodes, fantasy football tools and resources, and the personal satisfaction of supporting this independent podcast. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.